You are listening to the Dave and Darren Show on a Hey, Remember the 80s Friday. Back with more 80s fare in a moment. But first, talking about movies released in 2009, he is the entertainment editor of the River City's Reader. And yet another reason I respect this guy. He is not the type of person who is going to name drop. He doesn't say in his column, Dave Lavora told me something. He says,
this is true.
Yeah. A friend.
A friend.
I'm referred to as a friend.
Absolutely.
In his latest column.
There.
And
yeah.
I can't tell you what big smile that put on my face. Aww. He did the same thing to you once,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. No, it's just it's the way we play.
He's Mike friends. Schultz. Welcome back.
It's good to be here.
Let's
Thank
get
you.
Right into G.I. Joe, because I've been chomping at the bit all week
yeah,
long.
Yeah, when did you go see it?
I saw it Sunday night.
Okay.
I had some time to kill.
All right.
I was in Chicago.
Oh,
and
okay.
In between a White Sox game and a concert at the Metro that I found out didn't start until midnight.
Whoa, okay.
Kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So all I was right. like, all right. So we went and saw, it was with a couple of buddies, and we went and saw G.I. Joe.
Okay.
I kept lobbying for the Hurt Locker, but because nobody knew what that was, we weren't going to go see that.
And that's exactly how G.I. Joe makes $56 million in the opening weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, they got 12 right. of my dollars. G.I. Joe is just awful.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I was halfway through thinking, maybe this will be the kind of awful I'll be able to enjoy.
Right.
No.
No, not
it's
so much.
Just dreadful.
It's just terrible. Yeah.
It doesn't make a lick of sense. It doesn't care that it doesn't make a lick of sense.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's 2 hours of stuff blowing up. And you would think...
A lot of glass. A lot of shattered glass in this thing. More shattered glass than I ever remember seeing in a movie before. Yeah.
I told Mike here on the show last week, and he mentions in the column, I said, try not to think of Team Police.
Team America.
Team America, World Police.
World Police. Yeah.
And when I said that, I was kind of half joking. But it's the exact same movie.
It's the exact same movie. Yeah, they got the hidden fortress that's, you know, like behind Mount Rushmore, except it's behind a sand dune. You've got, oh my, yeah.
Well, the
it's
terrorist
stunning.
Attack
You've got the terrorist attack in Paris.
Paris is the exact same
with
scene.
With the Eiffel Tower collapsing, just like in Team America.
Now,
it's sick. I couldn't believe it.
If G.I. Joe had come out first... You would say, okay, well, I get what they're doing here in the Team America. It's a parody of G.I. Joe movies
right.
like that.
Yeah.
It's unforgivable that G.I. Joe came out years after.
Yeah.
That's just lazy.
It's like people saw Team America and said, that's a great idea
we
for
should
a movie.
Totally
we should
do that.
Man, if you did that but made it serious,
or,
that would be awesome.
Or saw it and... Didn't thought they came up with it.
Yeah, they saw it really late one night and was like, it's like I had this dream where the Eiffel Tower collapsed. Nah,
I didn't come up with
that. Wow.
Five different writers. I don't know what happened. I don't understand what happened.
It's like they were all given a 15-minute segment of Team America to reproduce in kind of action flick, you know, serious form. And they did. They went to town.
It did pretty well, didn't it?
It did great.
Number one movie in the world,
Oh,
Darren.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was sitting there
Crazy
thinking, boy,
good.
Back when I was a kid and I was watching the G.I. Joe cartoons, would I have enjoyed this? And I just don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. It just doesn't make a lick of sense.
Wow, it's stunningly bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
And quite frankly, someone told me it cost $170 million to make this thing.
Yeah, and they'll earn their money back, too.
There are
you know?
A lot of effects, though, that just look like garbage, I thought.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like the first 10 minutes, too. I mean, you've got those spaceships that kind of whish by with that whooshy sound like that you heard on Buck Rogers on TV 29 years ago.
Right.
You know, it's stunningly
cheap. Yeah, but the executives
looking.
That look at this stuff and rubber stamp it and say, mm-hmm. go.
Yeah. Well, they're all 26, too.
I mean, they're you know, just like, we're going to make our money.
My favorite
yeah,
was
sure.
the underground ocean tank that they built so that they could do combat under the desert in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, my favorite thing afterwards, it's a movie that provokes a lot of discussion. Brendan Fraser shows up for 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. What was that about?
I don't know.
Well, it's by the guy who directed The Mummy, so I'm sure that was his, you know, Brendan, come on in and do a thing. But I couldn't understand the point of it.
Why was he there?
Why is Brendan Fraser there and looking like an idiot, of course, for 30 seconds? Oh, man. It's beyond ridiculous.
Okay. It's just...
Stay away from that.
It's just awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
All right, what else did you see?
Everything else was good. Everything else I saw was good. Best thing I saw, 500 Days of Summer is insane. I just came in last week talking about Hurt Locker. This one's better than a Hurt Locker.
Really?
In a completely different way, but it's my new favorite movie of the year. It's unbelievably smart and funny and
really
clever.
Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah.
He's with, is it Zooey Deschanel?
Deschanel, yeah.
And what's the deal with this one again?
This is about a 500-day relationship of two people fall in love and break up.
The girl's name is Summer. That's the gimmick. 500 days
but
of
it's,
Summer.
But it's shown out of sequence. So they like open on day one, then they go to day 285, then they go to 110. And so it kind of shows you how this thing that you said on day 400 echoes something that you said on day 17. Uh-huh. And it's just brilliant and funny.
Really?
It makes the audience crack up within the first 30 seconds before anything happens. Huge belly laugh. And the laughs never stop, and it's smart as hell all throughout. Wow. Stunning. Stunning movie. Loved it.
I mean, best picture right now. You're saying of the year.
And quite possibly a nominee, I think. Now that we got 10 possibilities for best picture nominees, this one may make it. It's making crazy bucks, and the reviews
really?
Are great.
You mentioned in your article at rcreader.com that you're pretty confident Meryl Streep is going to get an Academy Award nomination, at least.
Oh, I think she's got it. I think she's going to win it.
She's already won the award,
you think? I think she might.
For Julie and Julia,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Meryl Streep. We're done talking about how great she is, really.
Right.
But come on, man. It's like you like Julia Child so much, and you like Meryl Streep so much, and the combination of that just kind of explodes. And it's the happiest audience I think I've been with all year.
Oh, so
they had
a good
blast.
Movie.
It's really good. Huh? Really surprisingly good. I didn't expect to like it that much, to be honest. I heard a lot that the Amy Adams segments of it kind of get in the way of the fun that you have with Julia Child and stuff. But it's only weak in comparison, really. Her stuff is great. Amy Adams is I still like. She does one thing basically, but she does it really well. And the Meryl Streep stuff is just tremendous. Yeah, it's really good, very funny, and awesome.
Okay.
Loved it.
Huh.
Great impression. And finally, I saw Perfect Getaway, the one with
Steve Zahn
and
dying in
Mila Jovovich. Yes, it's like three couples in Hawaii, and which one of them are the
you think
serial
we did
killers?
It. Well, I think you did it because you're the only one left, and we didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, it turns out there are three couples as opposed to the two we thought last week. So
that makes
three.
Slightly
that
more
makes
sense.
More sense.
Makes slightly more sense. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's just a cool, tense little thriller with some pretty cool locales, some good performances. Timothy Oliphant, who we were talking about last week, is kind of never good. Except if he's on Deadwood, is really good in this, so that's cool. Yeah, it was a good time. It's
so
just
you had a good week at the movies.
It was really good, and even G.I. Joe, which I loathed, it was fun to make fun of.
Yeah.
So there's that.
All right.
You know,
I mean, I'm glad I went because spending the rest of the night ripping on the movie was worth it.
There you go. Yeah.
It was almost like, and here's the thing too. I saw it in Chicago with an audience that thinks Marlon Wayans is the funniest guy ever.
He's really not funny. Yeah.
Powerfully unfunny. But the people in Chicago, this group I was with, man, they were eating it up.
Yeah, say no more.
They were eating it up.
Yeah.
It was something else.
Yeah. Oof.
Well, this week we've talked to two people that are going to be in...
Yeah, the goods, live
the goods.
Hard, sell hard.
Oh, you're kidding.
We spoke with...
David Koechner was on.
Excellent, like
and we
him.
We spoke with Mr. Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke.
Early. Alan Thicke is in the... Wow, yeah. Right. What's he doing these
and
days
you know
besides
is,
the goods? That's cool.
You know who else is in the movie? His nemesis in this?
Who?
Mr. James Brolin.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Thicke was telling us how he and James
they have
Brolin...
a mutual admiration hair society.
Talk about how much they enjoy each other's hair.
Enjoy each other's hair.
That's awesome.
And seriously, this really happened. He was talking to Alan Thicke about James Brolin.
Mm-hmm.
Not once did Darren have a chance to bring
up
Skyjack.
I was going to.
Wow.
I was
going
to bring up Skyjack, but he moved on to something else.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. No, that should be referenced at least once a day.
Know.
You know.
I bet
really
he saw it.
David Koechner, by the way, is that the first time he'd been on the show?
Yes.
So you were knocking the Office veterans off one by one.
Yes.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly. A matter of days till Steve
Well, Ed Helms from The Office is in this movie as well.
Okay.
There's, I mean, basically everyone's in this movie, and I was joking with Koechner that this looks like a Will Ferrell movie without Will Ferrell, and I found out last night Will Ferrell is in fact
in it for
2 seconds.
He's in it as some sort of parachuting
Abraham Lincoln,
sinister. Is he Abraham Lincoln?
I think he's Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, because to me, he looked like the guy that's always tying people to the railroad track.
Kind of a Snidely Whiplash.
Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah.
There you
Snidely
go.
Snidely Whiplash
right.
is what he looked like to me.
The goods, live hard, sell hard. Jeremy Piven stars as a fast-talking used car salesman hired to help save a struggling dealership over the 4th of July. In this clip, our friend David Koechner tells Wade, played by Tony Hale, to get rid of his pictures of his fat kids. This is from The Goods in Quad City Theaters today.
Grant, those are my my kids.
Yeah, probably a good reason you're not selling.
What are you talking about?
Zuha, let's face it, you've got husky kids. I know it, you know it, and every Chuck E. Cheese in a 50-mile radius knows it. You know who doesn't need to know it? The customer.
I don't understand.
Look, you put up a picture of skinny kids. Customer thinks, oh, my Lord, this guy needs the commission. He's got to feed those hungry mouths.
Oh, okay. I get it. Should I take down the picture of my wife?
No, that's your closer. Fat kids, customer hates you. Fat wife, customer pities you. Zuha, that's the best fat wife I've seen in 4 or 5 years. Can I have a copy of it?
Can I have a copy?
I'm kind of excited. That's a great cast. I didn't know Tony Hale was in it.
Everybody's in it.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Okay.
It's kind of like an airplane almost, is what Thicke and Ketchner were telling us, because there's so many people in it.
Bring it on.
I wonder if the skydiving Abraham Lincoln doesn't make it.
We'll find out.
He's only in it for 30 seconds.
Yeah, I wonder if the chute doesn't open.
That would be funnier. And that would explain why he's not in the movie
very
long.
Exactly, yeah.
Also opening today, a movie that I could not be more excited to see. I'm hoping I can somehow figure out a way to get out of the house long enough to make this happen. District 9.
Yeah.
A science fiction movie about an alien refugees in South Africa who hold the key to a mysterious, powerful secret. This movie was made for $30 million.
Really?
In this day and age is nothing.
That's chump change.
Right.
That's tiny indie.
And it looks so good. Here's a clip from the new movie, District 9. Again, this is in Quad City Theaters as of today.
Now, to everyone's surprise, the ship didn't come to a stop over Manhattan or Washington or Chicago, but instead coasted to a halt directly over the city of Johannesburg. The doors didn't open for 3 months. It just hovered there. Nobody could get in. And they eventually decided, after much deliberation, that the best thing to do would be to physically cut their way in.
Spooky, scary, awesome.
Bad idea, then?
Preview is awesome. Yeah, I'm guessing.
So you got something hovering over your city for months.
Yeah. Let's cut that thing open, see what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea.
I love the idea that they want to get the hell out of here, and we're like, no, sorry.
No.
You have to stay.
We want to keep you and kind of poke around and see what's going on. Yeah.
Let the probing begin.
Right. That'll end well. Finally, the time traveler's wife. Rachel McAdams and Eric Bana star in the tale of a man cursed with a genetic anomaly that causes him to skip back and forth through time.
That genetic anomaly.
Eric Bana, by the way, this is his second time traveling movie of the summer.
Right. What was that?
He was the Romulan who traveled back in time to kill Spock.
He was also the best thing about Funny People, as a matter of fact.
Does he travel in time in that?
That he does not.
But he does travel back to Las Vegas and Munich.
This is a movie I really have no interest in because it looks like a chick flick. And as much as I enjoy looking at Rachel McAdams, I can't do it anymore, dude. I just can't.
Yeah.
It just seems chick flicky, although it's got a sci-fi element to it.
It seems like an apology for husbands who are always away on a business trip.
Uh-huh. Right.
Now I've got an excuse.
Yeah. Honey, genetic anomaly. I can't be in the house this weekend. I'd love to mow the lawn, but genetic anomaly.
And I'm going to be at Gettysburg.
The thing is, he can't control when he goes back in time.
No, I know.
Right. It's not my fault, honey.
You just start fading.
Oh, I'd love to talk to your mother. Oh.
Yeah.
I will give the movie this much credit. In this clip, Henry, played by Eric Bana, helps Claire, Rachel McAdams, win the lottery.
Oh, see, now that's
finally
helpful.
Finally, time traveler does the first thing I would do.
Yeah, he's pulling his weight at long last. Mm-hmm. All right.
What is it, 2008? 2007? All right, here's what I'm going to do. I got a grand that says Tampa Bay and Arizona make the World Series and Super Bowl.
Mm.
I got a grand, Vegas. Let's make this happen.
Yeah. Smart. Good.
Let's go ahead and do this from the time traveler's wife.
Smash all 5 white balls.
What did you do?
Our first winning 5 number is
17.
17.
You just won $5 million.
40.
You can't do that. It's cheating.
Okay. Triple up. No. There are a lot of downsides to my condition. This is not one of them.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm on board with that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I do like the movie instantly a little better now.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. That's a wise move.
Right. I think, Schultz, you might enjoy all 3 of these.
I don't know about that last one. It looks terribly notebooky to me, but
Notebook, and what was that one where Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves
the lake house. To be honest, I didn't hate that one. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it was all right.
Hate that one.
I didn't hate it. No, it was. I got through it. Yeah, it was okay.
You always do.
There's some choices this weekend. Nice.
He is Mike Schultz of the River Cities Reader. We'll find out what he thought about those films on Friday here on the show and
in
this
print.
This is the week that is in print.
Yeah,
every Wednesday everywhere. So look for that. He's off to the movies.
I'm off. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for the time, buddy. It's another Hey, Remember the 80s Friday. Judas Priest, friends. Dave and Darren, this is Rock 104.9.